Hello! Welcome to the Nerdy Legion!
Boris Karloff, is that you?
You have figured me out!
Is this Lon Chaney? Who is this? Bela Lugosi, who is this?
Welcome!
Welcome!
Welcome back! Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
What do you got, an Arby's roast French dip in your mouth? What's going on over there?
I have some chili in my mouth.
Oh my gosh. What is this, an edible podcast? What's going on here? Are we doing ASMR and you didn't tell me?
Nicholas, put the sweet, tender chili in your mouth. Just one spoonful at a time.
Listen, pull up your ponytails and reach deep within the medicine bag and pull out the throat lozenge. Now, get sleepy.
Feel the throat lozenge working down your throat as you get sleepier and sleepier listening to this, the Nerdy Legion podcast, baby! Woo! What is happening, brother?
What is going on with you?
That was the longest introduction we've ever done for the show.
I liked it. Welcome to the Banana Hammock. I liked it.
Yeah?
Keep people on their toes.
It was good. They were confused. Yeah. There's like some Bela Lugosi in there, then the ASMR, then some yelling, now we're back to normal.
It's good. It's all good.
They don't know what to expect anymore.
All keepers.
See, some of them thought that after 217 episodes that, we'd get old. We wouldn't know what to do anymore. Incorrect, my friend.
Wow. I like it.
It's a new experience every time.
Yes. A revamp every episode.
I think I just got chili in my microphone.
What? Your microphone is, what is it, cool water supported?
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2!
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Man, today was a great day, Nick.
Oh, yeah? Do
it
tell.
It was a great day. I woke up at like 9:30.
Nice.
First time I've done that in months.
Nice.
And the first thing out of anyone's mouth is, I'm hungry.
Uh-oh.
So I made some pancakes from scratch.
Ooh, nice.
And I also made some whipped cream from scratch.
Ooh, jeesh.
And used that for the pancakes, which they very much enjoyed.
Did you do, like, chocolate chip whipped cream pancakes?
No, I did strawberry whipped cream pancakes.
So it's like a strawberries and cream type thing.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. So had that. And then we spent all day. My wife stayed home because, I don't know, she just likes to watch TV, I guess. So
nice.
Me and the girls went oot in a boot, as they say in our friends up north in Canada land.
Oh.
And we went to the mall. We went to the arts and crafts shops.
How many stores did you hit before hitting Hot Topic?
We actually didn't go to Hot Topic this time.
Wow. Did you get a cheesesteak or did you get Chinese food while at the mall?
So, I don't want anyone to get upset with me or anything, but we did go to the beef jerky outlet.
Damn it. Other than me, I don't know who would get upset at you, but your co-host. Damn it.
So we went to the beef jerky outlet, and they had new beef jerky.
Ooh. New flavor? Or yes. Just like new manufacturer of beef?
New flavors. They had a Korean barbecue jerky. They also had a mango habanero jerky.
Ooh.
And there was a third one that I can't remember.
Oh.
So we purchased the Korean barbecue one. Because I got the Korean barbecue jerky that they have at Costco, and that was good. And so I said to myself, if that's good, then surely the one at the beef jerky outlet is even better.
And it was. So we got that. And, the mango habanero, which the girls liked, but it was a little spicy.
Yeah, it's habanero.
So it's all for daddy.
Yeah.
And then we also got a bunch of, like, jerky sticks. Because they're like $5 for $10, the jerky sticks.
Nice.
So we got one. Well, they have a bunch of different flavors, but we got a pork and venison. Well, they're all pork, so I'll just leave the pork out.
Sure.
It's pork and something. So we got venison, elk, alligator, kangaroo. What was the fifth one?
So it's pork and kangaroo.
Yes.
I thought you were going to go through like pork and habanero mango.
Mm. No. It's like pork and venison, pork and elk, pork and gator, pork and kangaroo.
So these are just like meat sticks. They're peppery meat sticks.
Well, they're not all peppery. Like the venison one's my favorite. I love deer meat. I don't know if have you ever had deer meat.
Yes, of course. Come on. Welcome, hey Martin. Look. Welcome to the Nerdy Legion. Pinkies Up podcast.
I didn't have deer until I was in my mid-20s.
But how many people have you talked to that have had Rocky Mountain oysters with your own self?
Right? You're the only one. That's very true. So anyway, so we got those, and they were great. What was the one? Wild pheasant, maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Maybe it was wild boar. It was wild something.
Gotcha.
But they were all delicious because we had breakfast at like, I don't know, I got done with making the pancakes at like 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we left for the mall at like noon. And in the meantime, I was making chili in the crock pot, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not going to be ready till like 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, you know, we'll go to the mall, we'll go do whatever, because Zoe went out to make her own Halloween costume.
Nice.
So we'll go to the arts and crafts store and get that stuff. And by the time we get back, like, we'll chill out a little bit and then we'll eat dinner. Well, we get to the mall and they're freaking starving.
Mm.
I'm like, you guys just ate like an hour ago. How hungry can you be?
Well, it's mall Chinese food. How hungry do you need to be?
Well, it was funny because Reagan's like, we need to go and get samples at all the food court places. So I sat down and her and Zoe went around to all the booths and got samples from every single one.
Auntie Annie's, can I try your Halloween pretzel sample? Thank you. I've never had candy corn pretzel. Thank you. Yum, mm-hmm. Yum.
So that held them off for a little bit. But then we went to the jerky outlet and got all this jerky. And we ate all the sticks. Mm. And we ate some of the bagged jerky as well while walking through the mall and then, like, in the car.
Nice. So, which jerky product was the most – usually it's a stick. It's a meat stick.
The most popular?
No. Which jerky product that you purchased and ate was the most greasy?
Oh, probably the boar.
Okay.
Yeah.
That checks out. I was going to say alligator, but boar checks out as well.
No, the gator's not as greasy as you'd think.
Okay.
But yeah, though, I would say the boar. The best one, though, is the teriyaki venison. That's delicious.
Yeah, you put teriyaki on anything, it's delicious.
That's true. But I wanted to try elk because, as you know, I took my first bow hunting lesson.
Yeah.
So I would like to go elk hunting at some point in the next year or so. And I was like, I wonder what it tastes like. It's fucking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait. But
and how does the wrists, arms, and shoulders feel after the first bowing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'll get to that in a minute. We did get one more item that I forgot.
Feel free. Yes. It's your show.
So we go to check out. And Zoe sees chocolate dipped bacon.
Oh, hello.
So she wanted the bacon. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Yes, go ahead and get it. Except she did not realize, nor did I, until we started eating it, that it was jalapeno chocolate bacon.
Ooh, even better.
I thought it was delicious. Reagan did not like it, but she doesn't really like spicy too much. Zoe liked it on the parts that didn't have a whole lot of the jalapeno.
What about your wife? Now, when you see chocolate-covered bacon, are you like, I got to bring some home?
My wife doesn't like bacon.
Or are you just like, hey, you missed out.
No,
chocolate-covered bacon.
My wife doesn't like bacon.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. More for you.
More for me. So we ate said bacon. It was great. It was delicious.
Nice.
And it had like a drizzle of like jalapeno sauce on top. So the ends were not very spicy, but when you get to the middle, it's like bam, right in your face.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
that
it was good.
So good.
It was very good. I was surprised. Hey. I don't know what the other one was. I want to say like strawberry or something. I don't know.
Oh, gross. What, now this outlet, I'm picturing a pretty large storefront. Is it large because it's an outlet store, or is it a small little outlet store that, what makes it an outlet? Obviously, this isn't like John and Wendy Jones jerky shop. This is like an outlet store to me sounds like they get in stuff that they might have bought on bulk, or it might have 3 weeks left shelf life. Grab it cheap on the go. Let's do this.
So they do have their own brand of jerky.
Ooh.
But they also sell other brands of jerky. And it's not like just jerky. Like they have like wasabi peas. There's some like, it's not pickled okra, but it's like dried okra, like jerkied okra.
Okay.
Like basically if you can jerk it, we did it. See, already. Only 12 minutes in and we got it. If you can jerk it, they sell it.
But it does outlet mean that it's cheaper than normal places?
No, it's not. I mean, like that mango habanero bag was like $20.
Ooh, holy Christ. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I know it's quality. Matter of fact, it was funny because yesterday we went grocery shopping. And Zoe wanted some jerky. And I was like, all right, let's see what they have. So we go to the jerky section, and it's mostly like Jack Links and like whatever, Matador and some of the other brands.
Right, right.
And she's like, oh, this one sounds good. I was like, that's not good jerky. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, you know, like there's certain brands that like make good jerky. Mm-hmm. Some jerkies just have like a lot of preservatives and this, that, and the other. You don't want those. You want like real jerky.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I told her we didn't get a chance to do it because we're so busy. But I was like, what we should do is get some meat and make our own jerky. And she was totally down for it.
Nice.
Except, like I said, we didn't get to it because we were busy.
Dang it.
So as soon as we walk into the jerky outlet, she's like, the first words out of her mouth. The guy's like, hey, welcome, blah, blah, blah. Like, have you guys been before? I was like, oh, yeah, we come all the time. And Zoe's like, hey, Dad, which one's the good jerky? And I was like, baby, here, it's all good jerky. So, and they have, like, a wall of hot sauces and, like, stuff like that.
Nice.
It's not big. I don't, if you go to a mall, like, it's the size of a mall GameStop.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But it's delicious. Yeah, so they have like a bunch of jerkies and jerky sticks. What did I, oh, I almost got, I should have gotten it, but I didn't for some reason. They had jerky salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've never had jerky salmon before, but I figured it's delicious. So, next time I'll get some.
Nice.
But there's like a little popcorn section and whatever. You know, you got gotcha. Your flavored crickets, all that stuff. But so we ate most of the jerky that we bought between the store and the car. So that was not my intention, because I spent like $50 on jerky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But we was hungry.
Yeah. Did you find all of the costume essentials?
So we got the majority of it. So she wants to be the candy queen. I think I mentioned this in the last episode.
Yes, you did.
She wants to be the candy queen. So we went to AC Moore, which sells like crafty stuff. It's kind of like a Michael's, I guess. And so she bought a styrofoam. She wanted to go to FYE at the mall and get this like giant blow pop that they have that has like whatever 20 blow pops in it. And that shit was like $20. I'm not spending $20 on a fucking blow pop.
Oof.
So Reagan's like, why don't we just get like a styrofoam bowl at AC Moore and make your own? So that's what we did. So we got a big styrofoam bowl and a big wooden dowel and candy patterned duct tape. So we wrapped the stick around in the gummy bear duct tape. And the bowl, we are softening Laffy Taffys and stretching them out onto the ball. So it's going to be a Laffy Taffy ball.
Dang.
And then we got some like thicker poster board to make her crown. And we cut it up, but we didn't get to finish it because the crown, we are hot gluing several bags of Skittles into it. So it's going to be like a 3-pound crown. Like it's going to be a heavy piece of crap. And she bought a white shirt because they have like just plain shirts you can paint or whatever.
Sure.
And so that one she's going to decorate and it's going to say like Candy Queen on it or whatever. And she's going to wear leggings and we're going to make a skirt. Don't know what yet, but we're going to make it look some like cotton candy type skirt.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll do that. We got all week to do that. Cause Halloween's what? Oh, Halloween's today. Tomorrow.
Oh.
Welcome. Anyways, before Halloween, it'll be finished.
Nice.
But yeah, it was good. And Reagan is cosplaying as 11 from, Netflix's Stranger Things.
Oh, which season?
Season
of 11.
Season 3.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. Because Hot Topic, no, Spencer's. Spencer's sells the shirt that she wears in season 3.
Mm.
So she bought okay. that shirt last week.
So you went in there and got the shirt, a water pipe, and a lava light.
And some sexy time games.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'll dress up as the clown from It, but it's more of a sexy nurse with a red wig on.
Well,
wink,
see,
wink.
I told Zoe that we should dress up as each other for Halloween.
Well, did she just say, I don't want to just wear a black t-shirt and jeans, Dad?
Yes.
That's a little too boring for me. But then she's like, but I also can get you in all of the color and sparkles, which would be fantastic.
Yes. So she was not down for that.
No, of course not.
I don't think she wanted to sport a beard. You know what I mean?
Unless it's a Bob Ross beard, of
yeah.
course.
Although she did find his mask that she almost bought. She's like, this could be you in like 50 years. It was an old man mask. And it had like a white beard, like down to your belly button, and then long white hair in a ponytail.
Is it like Father Time supposed to be?
Yeah,
like what's
something
the
like
point
that.
Of them?
Yeah, something like that.
Weird.
I don't know. It didn't say what it was.
Or was it that old dude on the like 60s San Francisco Keep It Truckin' logo?
Maybe.
Where he's sort of like thumbing his ride, but he's got long ass hair and a beard.
Well, we'll go with Father Time.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But, yeah, we had a good time.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm still eating this chili, though.
No shit. No, I know that. Believe me. Every time I take a breath into the microphone, you come back with a mouthful of chili.
You know, the listeners won't know because I've got filters set up, so you can hear it.
No, hell no.
It actually doesn't really come up in the recording.
You are adorable.
Listen, after 217 episodes, I can do whatever the fuck I want, all right?
You can. You can. It's your show. You can.
God damn right. No, it's your show.
But no,
I'm eating the shit out of this chili on your show.
Well, when you finally come up from being – I mean, it sounds like you're a fucking cobra. Like you're swallowing a damn like – full bunny rabbit in like not even biting down on the damn thing, you're just swallowing it. When you come up from air, I want to hear about this chili recipe, this slow cooker chili recipe.
So I'm actually I'm eating it on a piece of pita bread right now.
You're and what?
I'm eating it on a piece of pita bread.
It's that thick that you can have it on a piece of pita bread?
Yeah, thick enough.
Dang, that's mm-hmm. impressive.
Mm-hmm. All the Texans listening to this, please plug your ears for the next few minutes.
Yes, fast forward 3.5 minutes.
Or send all hate mail to at Geekvine on Twitter. Thanks. This is actually Aaron Bell's fault. Let me just bring that out right. It's Aaron Bell's fault.
Nice.
Because when we were in Missouri for Ronnie's wedding,
mm-hmm.
Ronnie had a taco bar, which is a fantastic idea. I learned something that I'd never thought about before.
Okay.
When eating tacos. Because they had little tortilla chips, you know what I mean? Like for the side. And Aaron Bell said he had this wonderful idea where he lays a bed of chips down on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes his tacos and places them on top. And so as he's eating his tacos, any filling that falls down onto the plate isn't wasted because it falls onto the chips. And so therefore afterwards, he can simply pick up his chips and eat all the filling that has fallen out of the tacos. Genius!
So he's discovered the hybrid taco into nacho transformation.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Which, I mean, it's not like nobody has ever thought of this before, right?
No, but I love it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone
And it catches not just the ingredients, but if there's any spillover juice, grease.
There you go.
All the yumminess right onto the chip. Yeah.
So, genius. So, it's gotten, you know, it's getting colder. Right.
How many of those, let's go back. How many of those at the taco stand, taco bar, how many of those did a Martin Ferretti put away that night? Just two?
Yes.
Who am I recording with? What the hell is going on here?
I had two tacos.
Oh my gosh.
Two soft tacos.
Who am I recording with? You just put away 3 pounds of jerky, for God's sakes, and now you're only having two tacos?
Well, that was between three of us.
Oh, terrible.
So it's getting colder. You know, it's late in the month of October, and mm-hmm. I was like, man, I want to make something that's like you can eat when it's cold.
Yeah.
So the first thing I thought of was, of course, chili.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, granted, in Texas, they're fancy pants, right? They eat chili when it's like 300 degrees outside in the summer.
They're very strong-willed.
They are. It's true.
Yeah.
Here, we don't do that. We're not very strong-willed. We're weak people.
Yes, yes.
And so we eat that kind of stuff during the wintertime.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll make it in the summer. But most people don't like to eat like stuff that you eat really hot. Plus, it's
right.
spicy when it's super hot outside.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got, I was grocery shopping and I got some stuff. And of course, I get the good ground beef, you know, the grass fed, grass finished, whatever the
good.
F, the good
pasture
stuff.
Pasture raised.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that stuff. It's like, whatever, like $9 a pound.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Unlike regular ground beef, that's, I don't even know, $3, $4, whatever it is.
Right. Sure.
But yeah. You can taste the difference. You know what I mean? Like, it is worth paying that extra money. So I knew we were going to go to the mall, so I started prepping this. So I got some bell peppers, green and yellow and red, and I fried them up a little bit with some onions, a little bit of garlic. Mm. When all that was starting to brown, I threw it into the crock pot. Then I got my grass-fed, grass-finished beef, and I browned it up nice, and then I threw it in the crock pot. Then I got all my spices. I got my can of green chilies, because you have to have that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need some kick. It is called chili, mm-hmm. right? So you got to put chilies in the chili.
Mm-hmm.
And Texans, cover your ears. I like to do half a jar of like the garden ragu, not like ragu brand, but you know, like pasta
what?
Sauce.
What?
Yes, I do half a jar of that, and I do freshly diced tomatoes instead of throwing in a can of diced tomatoes.
Well, why wouldn't you get like stewed tomatoes or something that would give you more liquid?
I don't like that. I get enough liquid out of the tomatoes as they're simmering. Plus, I also add a little bit of bone broth, Nick.
So now I see why you're putting stuff on tortilla chips. Really, it isn't a tortilla you're putting it on. You made a chili pizza. And you put it onto a pizza crust. Now I understand. Thank you.
So yesterday I made bone broth. Because now my local supermarket, finally, after me asking them every goddamn week, has started selling, like bits of femur.
As you're like, mother effer, 2 decades ago, you were throwing these bones away. You couldn't give them away. Now all of a sudden, I just want to buy them from you.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I can go to Whole Foods to get them, but Whole Foods, it's like $5 a pound.
Oh yeah, those were ballerina cows that you're getting those femurs from.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep. So my local supermarket sells them for $1.98 a pound.
Perfect.
Which is perfect. Matter of fact, sometime this week I'm gonna make some just for the marrow. I'm gonna make some bone marrow burgers.
Okay. Are you gonna do exactly what you did last time? Because we talked about this.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. Okay, that's great. The best.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, well, my these wife's
are,
been going.
These are just the best burgers. These must be those grass-fed, grass-finished beef. Dad, I can see why you think they're so good. Oh, they're good. Would you like another one? Mm, mm-hmm. Yum, yum, yum.
That's right.
They're so beefy. That's right. They,
yes,
are.
They are.
And so moist. Mm-hmm. You're right. They are.
And they coat your mouth. Mm.
Oh, so good. So beefy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yum, yum, yum.
See, well, my wife usually goes grocery shopping lately for some reason. She thinks I don't buy enough food. But the thing is,
you're just economical.
Well, yes. I plan out every meal in my head, and I buy exactly those ingredients.
Right, so you're not throwing away stuff.
Right, but see, she's using something else.
She's impulsive. That's the problem.
She's using something else. So if you go to her parents' house, for example, their pantry in their kitchen is probably the size of my entire kitchen. Matter of fact, I would say their pantry is about as big as their kitchen. And it's just full of canned goods.
Of course.
Her dad's also a bit of a prepper, you know what I mean?
Like, there you go.
He buys silver and gold and like whatever.
Goes to state sales, buys up the silverware. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, look, these pork and beans are three for a dollar. I'm going to buy 300 cans.
Right. I can see your wife being impulsive, as well as another mistake, because there's a few when you go grocery shopping. But one of the biggest, I could see her going when she's hungry, too.
Mm.
So she doesn't have a plan, doesn't have recipes, but then all of a sudden, every sale sign's drawing her eye, and then she's hungry, so every impulsive buy is drawing her eye.
She's not so bad on the impulsive, but she likes to shop at Aldi's, and I hate going to Aldi's.
Oh, I love Aldi's. I'm with her. She's the best.
See, I don't like Aldi's because, number one, I don't like to bring my own bags, right? If I bring my own bags, I'll have the thing. I don't like to put the quarter in for the buggy. I think that's stupid.
Oh,
like, I get why
brother.
They do it. And I also don't like the way the stores are set up because it's just like, here's this fucking, let me open my garage and you come, you know, go into my prepper pantry. That's what it reminds me of.
Come. They have some good organic hidden gems, my friend.
Do they?
You should go to Aldi more.
All right. I'll give it a chance.
Some pretty impressive stuff. I'm a little surprised.
I'll give it a chance.
And they have really good chicken sausages there too, just to let you know.
Well, the last time she went, let me tell you, she complains about me not getting enough groceries. You know what she got? She got like 8 packages of pumpkin ravioli and like 6 cans of pumpkin pasta sauce and like pumpkin bread and like pumpkin nuts and all kinds of shit. And she's like, it's a season. I'm like, I don't want to eat fucking pumpkin all day every day.
'Tis the season, honey. And then did you look at her and just, were you just like, what was was Starbucks out of PSLs? So all of a sudden you couldn't get your pumpkin spice latte. So any pumpkin thing you had to buy.
Look, my pantry is full of pumpkin shit right now.
Mm. I like some pumpkin shit.
She doesn't do any cooking, so I'm going to have to figure out what the fuck to do with it.
Serve it up. Pumpkin ravioli with pumpkin pasta sauce. Get going.
She did have some for lunch today, so there's leftover pumpkin ravioli in the refrigerator. And I had one. They're quite good. Matter of fact, I dipped one in my chili.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing. That's the hybrid right there.
Uh-huh. What's that called? Like Indiana spaghetti or whatever? What's that called? That's a Midwestern, right? You put chili in your spaghetti?
Pasta mac or whatever it's called? Chili mac?
No, not chili mac, dude. Instead of using a ragu, a pasta sauce, you use chili on your spaghetti.
Yeah, that's like a Detroit, Indiana thing, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I've had chili mac's delicious. I love chili mac.
Yeah, it is delicious. But I think the sweetness of the pumpkin with a chili, and then you also get a little pasta around that. Mmm, that sounds good.
I'll say. It was good when I dipped it.
Except let's not forget, all this stuff, sure, you have to figure out what you're going to do with all this. And then you also better like freaking pumpkin stuff because no one in that house eats leftovers. So whatever you make, you're going to have to eat the rest of.
You are 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
All the leftovers are mine.
Yep.
So I did all that. And what else did I put in there? Oh, so I did a cup of the bone broth.
What about spices? You haven't talked about spices yet.
Oh, just, you know, like cumin, chili pepper, powder, salt, pepper. Nothing fancy. Coriander, gotcha. I think I put some in there. And 2 teaspoons of cocoa powder, which I had never done before.
Yeah.
But I heard it gives it a little extra flavor, you know, a little richness.
It does.
So I did, and it was quite good, I gotta say. It even like cuts down some of the front end heat, right? Like,
yeah.
When you put it in your mouth, you don't feel the heat, but when it goes down to the back, you're like, "Yep, there it is."
Yeah, I like a little, just a subtle chocolate in my chili.
Yeah. Not like to make it taste like chocolate. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a mole, for God's sake.
No, it's not a mole.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, how can I serve these? Where like. It can just be finger food. And I remembered Aaron Bell. So what I did is I bought some Tostitos scoops and I laid out, I did 15 on each plate.
Not a sponsor.
Shame on them. Frito scoops. I did a dollop inside the scoop of creme fraiche.
Wait,
that I made.
Is this a Tostito scoop or is this a Frito scoop?
Tostito scoop.
Oh, okay. So those could bust. All right. All right.
Yes, they could bust. Yeah. And I learned this, so next time I'm going to do the layering different. Because I did the creme fraiche first, right? So creme fraiche is sour cream and lime juice.
Right.
And then I did a heap full of the chili on top.
What?
Yeah.
No, you go cheese at the bottom, chili, the hot chili on top that melts the cheese, and then the creme fraiche on top.
See, so the next time that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because the scoop started getting a little damp.
Yeah. That's a lot of wetness on them.
Yeah. So you don't get as much crunch. I wanted more crunch.
And the whole point of a scoop is just that. You shouldn't have to use a fork with that thing.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, now the family had to be over the moon with this.
Yes. So it was all right. So it was a scoop, then the creme fraiche, then the chili on top, then I did the cheese on top of that. Then I did a squirt of lemon juice, just like a couple drops.
Okay.
And then I did I grated some lemon zest on top.
What about some guac? No guac? No cotto?
No guac. Wow. I had some in the refrigerator that I made Friday, but only my wife and I eat guac. The girls don't like guac.
Okay. All right.
So no guac. Maybe next time.
Okay.
But it was just like already so thick. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't want to drop more stuff on top. Yeah,
or,
very good.
Or do two layers. I would do two layers of the scoops.
Oh,
because
I like
then
that.
You always have the bottom one that isn't touching anything hot or wet. Because the top one's the shield barrier. Because who's going to complain about having two layers of Tostito scoops? I believe no one would bitch about that.
Correct. Now. Here is where the dilemma comes in.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Because Nick, As you know, folks in Texas are very picky with their chili.
But let's not forget, you did not add in beans yet.
I did not add beans at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have done beans in the past. And this is a moment of contention for the Texans. Because mm-hmm. they believe once you put beans in it, it is no longer chili. It is now more like a stew.
Sure, but last week I did white bean chicken chili, and guess what? That's the title of it.
It's banging.
It's not called stew. It's white bean chicken chili. Guys.
It's very good. For anyone that has never had white bean chicken chili, you need to try it.
It's really good. You know what I discovered? And then we'll go back to your chili.
Sure.
But I wish I had it for my chili. I just discovered, because the wife needed a recipe, we were doing something in the air fryer, which I want to talk about, that we own an air fryer right now. Oh, my God. But one of her recipes called for white pepper. Never used white pepper before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've used white pepper. Black pepper is spicy a little bit. White pepper, 10 times worse. Holy guacamole, did that make the recipe so freaking hot? But I think for white bean chicken chili, it'd be sort of nice to put in a little white pepper. Let's get that in there.
That is next time, next not time. A bad idea.
Yeah, next time. So what's the bone of contention with our Texarkanans?
So the thing was, we eat a lot of vegetables here.
Yes.
And we had some leftover vegetables. In mm-hmm. particular, we had some leftover broccoli and cauliflower. And so I don't want it to go bad.
Right.
So I said to myself, self, why don't you just mm-hmm. chop these up and throw them in the chili?
Right.
I mean, it's going to be in the crock pot for 7 hours anyway. They'll get nice and soft.
What did the Texans want you to do? Throw that into a landfill and yes. pollute the earth?
Yes.
Or to eat it?
No. There's like no vegetables in no vegetables in the Texas chili.
But what do they want you to do? Throw it out?
Yes, that's what they would say.
Wrap it in plastic and throw it out and have a duck's bill and legs get stuck in the plastic bag? Is that what the Texans want you to do? I wouldn't want you to do that, but maybe Texans would. I don't know. Proceed.
So, I was like, you know what? I'm going to chop these up and throw them in there. Because my wife is very like serious about this. Every meal like has to be a protein, a vegetable, and some kind of grain.
Of course, but because well, let's be honest, because she only has three compartments in her TV tray.
This is actually quite true.
I know it is.
So,
and by the way, when I was painting the picture of the duck getting stuck in the plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping you were going to chime in with Sarah McLachlan's Arm of an Angel. Proceed. Every time I think of a picture like that, I always hear that dumb Sarah McLachlan song.
In the arms of an angel. Yes. So so I chopped them up and threw them in there. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Like, this probably needs some more vegetables.
Yeah. There you go.
So I had some carrots in the refrigerator. So I julienned up the carrots. Old school, because I don't have a julienne machine like you do.
Yeah,
so I chopped them up with a knife, and I threw them in there. And I will say, that may not have been the best idea, because you could taste the carrot in the chili.
Yeah, it becomes a little too sweet sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. You could definitely taste the carrot in the chili.
It's a nice texture thing,
but was nice.
Boy, does it get sweet. Woo.
Yeah, it was nice. So I'm not complaining. No. So I added those three things, which I know is not a typical chili thing, but you know what? I don't care. And I got an extra dose of veggies. Now, I know friend of the show, Mr. Gunderstorm, was talking about putting asparagus in his chili.
Yeah.
That seems a little much.
He flies close to the sun. He likes to bend the terms of conforming to society. He likes to bend those terms a little bit. See what he can get away with. I respect that.
Oh man. But I like it. He's got some good ideas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, look at
this. Oh, his chili recipe's on point, buddy. Just let me know if you ever try his chili recipe.
Look,
it's good.
The Texans are chiming in on Twitter with gifs of throwing pots of chili out onto the floor. Mm-mm-mm. Shameful.
Boy, they're very wasteful in Texas. I don't understand. What the hell? Well, I mean, just because, what are they doing? Throwing everything into Mexico? They don't think we don't see that? We can see that. It's a big pile of chili. Stop.
Oh, man. Look, it was good. Okay, that's all I know. It tasted delicious.
And you know what? You probably snuck how many vegetables you hid them in the chili for your family to eat. You're a good boy.
It was 2 cups of broccoli, 2 cups of cauliflower, and like a cup and a half of carrots.
Yeah, I think that's all good.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it was like a cup of peppers and like half a cup of onions.
Nice. Yeah. Now, how long will this chili last?
There's probably 2 cups left.
Oh boy, so not that much, huh?
No, so that'll be my lunch at work tomorrow.
Sounds like you should have dublayed that recipe.
Yeah, maybe next time. Maybe every time I make chili, I always say the same thing too. Because you look at like a pound of beef, and it's not a whole lot. You know what I mean?
No.
But then when you start cooking it, it just like magically turns into more. And then you start looking at the recipe, and you're like, this is not a whole lot of food. Then you mix it in, and then like as the liquid starts coming out and it starts rising, you're like, shit, this is like a lot more than I thought it was. But then it still ends up not being enough because there's just so good.
Yeah, I can see that. Or you go with the 2 pounds, thinking 1 pound won't be enough, and then it's like, my God, this is like eating a wet hamburger. There's so much meat. Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe next time I'll do 2 pounds. But then keep all the vegetables the same. And then just add like a little bit more bone broth. Ooh, you know what I should do? Is throw some bone marrow in there.
There you go. That would work.
Mm.
And really, who knows what veggies you're going to have in your fridge that you're just going to cut up and throw into that chili.
That's true.
Chili is such a great hodgepodge.
It is.
I've had some of the best chili where I'm just throwing in stuff that's like, this is going to go bad in 4 days. Well, I'm going to pitch it in there. What the heck?
So, stuff like in the squash family, I'd be a little concerned about, right? Maybe like you can toss them in towards the end and it wouldn't be bad. But it seems like they would just get too mushy. You know what I mean? Like zucchini or whatever, some kind of squash.
I've done zucchini and I've done squash, and both of them just disintegrate into mush.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah.
Even at the end, because then your leftover is still going to be mushy and mealy.
That's true.
That's me. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? Throw that out? Where are you living? Texas? What are you going to do? Throw that gross zucchini onto the lawn? Just pitch it right into the street?
So in our home, we always have at least 2 kinds of spinach, so like fresh and a frozen.
Good.
At least 2 kinds of lettuce, romaine lettuce and garbage lettuce.
Uh-huh.
We always have carrots. We always have zucchini. We always have some kind of like a yellow squash because we like to do those casseroles or whatever.
Sure.
Always have 3 different kinds of peppers, so of green, red, and yellow. Always have cauliflower, always have broccoli.
Gotcha.
We probably eat broccoli like 5 or 6 times a week.
I can see that.
I like to roast it in the oven.
Yeah, I get that.
So, and I throw it at everything. Because it's a superfood, Nick.
Mm-hmm. It is super.
You can't go wrong with broccoli.
I can go wrong with broccoli, but I understand that it's a superfood.
I mean, if you're one of those people that has this crazy hate for broccoli, then I can understand.
I am not on team broccoli.
I know.
So.
I know.
Yeah, that's a hard one to pull off. Unless you're dicing it up real fine and putting it into soup, or you're making it almost mushy, and at that point, why am I eating it on anything? It's tough to sell me on broccoli.
Well, see, and that's how I did the broccoli for the chili. Because if you take raw broccoli, it's really easy to chop it up fine, where it's basically like dust of broccoli. You know what I mean?
And I like
I'm
that.
I'm not talking like florets in the chili. That's ridiculous.
I like that. Like it's a thickener.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
I
go.
I can approve that. But going back to your prices, like your bone prices, I was talking, God, I forget who the hell I was talking to, but they were confused why I don't buy fresh cauliflower, why I would buy bagged cauliflower rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's what I would be doing with a cauliflower, is ricing it.
Right.
And I don't know if you've looked at the price of cauliflower, but they're freaking expensive. And like I told this person, you cut out the complete middle of the cauliflower and throw it away.
It's true.
Whether you're dicing it or cooking it.
It's true.
So half of the weight is right there in the part that you're pitching out.
You know, I wonder about this. Like when I go grocery shopping, if you look for broccoli, I know you hate broccoli, but let's talk about it. This is similar.
If you go still get broccoli, even though I hate it. I still cook with it.
So I'll get fresh broccoli, but we also get bags, like 3 or 4 bags of frozen broccoli florets.
Sure.
But we always make sure to get the bag of only florets.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get bags that's like mixed.
Yeah.
And then there's like the broccoli stalks. Like, why would you ever buy that?
Even if they were mushy, they ain't fun. Yeah. An animal.
So chili was a success.
That sounds like a success.
Success. And since nobody eats leftovers, I'll have more to eat for tomorrow.
I bet you it's even better tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Good, good.
I can't wait. I thought about throwing back in the crock pot and let it cook for another whatever till I wake up in the morning.
Really reduce it down?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
I thought about it. I'm not going to, but I thought about it.
I can approve that. And that's why, like, an immersion blender is so great, especially with any type of stew that has, like, fibrous vegetables that I throw in. I've learned to set up the crock pot on high for, like, 3-4 hours just to get the fibrous stuff a little, like, soft.
Mm-hmm.
And then go in with the immersion blender, blend that up so it's an instantly thick soup, and then you dump in the rest of the less fibrous vegetables or the stuff you want texture with, and then that's how you finish it off. So, yeah, I totally get doing it overnight, get it a little thicker.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea. I'm drinking some gay whiskey right now, by the way.
Oh, heck yeah. Fruity Pebble whiskey?
Fruity Pebble whiskey. You know what I did? So I had to put it in a jar, a mason jar, of course.
Yeah.
But I squeezed, let's see, how much whiskey did I put in there? Oh my, it's 16 ounces of whiskey. And then I did the juice of half a lemon, and then I took 10 blackberries and squished them up and dumped them in there. That's all it is.
Man, look at you.
It's fucking good.
Did you like mortar and pestle the blackberries to like soften them up, moisten them up?
Yeah, dude.
And then dump them in there? All
yeah,
right.
Just like okay. Blackberry puree.
Look at you, little mixologist over
it's
there.
It's good. It's so good. Ronnie Barron, you should make this.
You throw a little like sprig of basil in there?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that. That might be good.
Oh, I know it'd be good.
I should have put some blackberry honey in here too.
There you go.
So I'm trying to not get sick, you know what I mean? It's flu season, Nick.
Well, Fruity Pebble whiskey, you know the old saying, Fruity Pebble, have a shot of Fruity Pebble whiskey, keep the doctor away. That's what they say. Of course. You know that old tried and true saying?
Yeah, tried and true saying.
Yeah.
I heard that in med school.
Of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Because I play a doctor on a podcast.
On a soap opera.
It's true. One Life to Live. This time on One Life to Live.
You and Rick Springfield both.
You got that right.
Yeah,
you got that
there you
right.
Go.
Tell me a story. I've been telling too many stories. I got more, but I want you to tell me a story.
No, you haven't. You've been telling some good stories. No, I've had a weekend of... probably the best weekend of food that I've had in a long time.
Ooh.
Yes.
Go on.
I woke up Saturday to the wife making a crazy, awesome omelet.
With chicken sausage?
There was chicken sausage.
Yeah.
And then what got delivered was our new air fryer.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, because we're trying to live the healthy lifestyle.
Sure.
So, and besides, as you well know, my wife loves a gadget. So she's turned her love of gadget from technology gadgets over to kitchen gadgets.
So is she using her air fryer with her cowboy hat and her flannel shirt while listening to Gwen Stefani's latest album?
Buddy, that would mean... if you're right now, you painted that picture in my head, that would only elicit sexy time between Julie and me coming down Saturday morning and seeing that scenario.
I hear you, buddy.
So we had to sort of figure out the air fryer, and I was going out to the store in the afternoon.
Do you want to explain to people what an air fryer is?
Feel free. To me, it's like having a very intense convection oven.
Correct. Yeah, it's called an air fryer because the result is very similar to frying food, except it doesn't use oil to fry anything. It circulates hot air.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm heading out to the store, and Julie, the cruise director, is looking up because we were going to do chicken. Because she wanted to try breaded chicken in the air fryer. Mm. But, of course, you know, we can't do regular flour, so we're trying to find some alternative way.
Sure.
So she found a recipe, and it was all, like, smoked paprika, that type of flavor profile. And I'm like, why don't you look up one that's, like, keto-friendly that's a... Because she used to love... And this is the whole point of, like, for her changing, like, the way she's eating and what she's making... is all like, well, but we can, whatever you have a taste for, we can find it in a more healthy, like keto way or low carb way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still, you know, trying to stick on that lifestyle. So I said, well, one of the things that you completely miss is Kentucky Fried Chicken, original recipe, like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you find a recipe like that, that at least, you know, with an egg or with some type of like, oh, dude, she bought last week, which I'm like, oh, we got to try those. She bought this bag of pork rind panko breadcrumbs, which I know I can buy pork rinds and I can grind them up myself.
Sure.
And make breadcrumbs. But she saw them, so it was like, okay, this will be the gateway to us just buying pork rinds and doing it ourselves.
I'm assuming just like original, right?
Yeah, just original flavor. Like they're nondescript.
I like to get to the Louisiana hot sauce pork rinds and use that for pork rinds.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine any like spicy pork rind. I can't even imagine that put onto like a chicken. So I brought up this KFC thing and she was like, oh yeah, that sounds good. So we already like air fried Brussels sprouts in just a little bit of olive oil, and those came out phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did one other. Oh, she did like a dessert thing. Came out really nice. So I'm heading out to grab stuff. I tell her we should do KFC. So she sends me this little list of like what she found a recipe. And by the time I got to the store, it was like, make sure you get the white pepper. Make sure you get like two or three celery salt, like two or three other like spices that was going to ape this Kentucky Fried Chicken original recipe flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, and we set up a whole dredge station. We had everything in bowls, just the way my OCD likes it. Like, yes, it's going to be messy, but by prepping ahead of time and getting all of the season, the dry seasons in one bowl with the bread, with the pork rind, panko breadcrumbs, getting the, it was buttermilk as the wash instead of an egg. And there was like this whole station. We had it all laid out. It was really easy. And then of course, all the recipes she's seen on YouTube regarding this air fryer, everyone's like, don't keep stuff in an extra minute. You keep it in an extra minute, the intensity of the heat will, it'll be dry as a bone.
Mm.
So it's like, oh boy. So now we have to babysit this mother effer. But after, and the only thing that's bad with an air fryer is it reminded me of a George Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm.
Like a George Foreman grill is made for a college student.
Yes.
They're making 1 to 2 hamburgers in that thing. You ain't feeding a family.
Right.
Now, granted, it's just me and my wife, but we're doing up 2 pounds of chicken.
Oh, boy.
Because we don't mind the leftovers. So sure. It's like, well, why not make 3 or 4 meals while we're at it? You don't want to pull out the damn dredge station every time. So the first batch went in, and we were really babying it. And it came out, and it was like, oh, okay, this is all right. And then we put in the second one, and we sort of knew the times at that point. So all we had to do was pull it out halfway through, grab the tongs, flipped over the chicken so it would get crispy on both sides, or supposedly crispy on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It came out more like a shake and bake mm-hmm. than actual, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken coating. Like it was not crispy. It was more shake and bakey. But then, like, the wife tasted it, and like I said, I don't know if it was the white pepper or the pork rinds. I have no idea, but mother effer. And I like stuff spicy. It was way too spicy for her.
Mm.
So at that point, she pulled a Martin Ferretti, and she's like, okay, how much, like, almond flour do I need to put in this bowl? All right, let me put it in. And we got her a different dredge. So there half the chicken was the uber spicy stuff. The other one, she was like, I think she got worried that she was taking too long. And I'm like, no. I'm like, grab down any dry spice that you think sounds good and just dump some stuff in, you know, do like a tablespoon of any dry spice you want. And we double dredged her stuff, and she was like blown away, like how great it was. And I mean, it locked in the juice really nice instead of like when you do toaster oven, like chicken tenders,
mm-hmm.
it sort of dries it out a little bit more. It everything I've had in that air fryer, it seems to just lock in the moisture, which is really nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
So then this morning, woke up, and we're both like, chit-chatting while she's watching a couple keto fryer recipes on YouTube. And she stumbles on one that I forget. I do remember the channel. But he was talking up like, let me whip up this 90-second bread in the air fryer. And my wife's ears perked up and she was like, 90-second bread? Let me pay attention to this. And sure enough, he whips up this 90-second... Well, first he does... Sorry, it's not in the air fryer. He did a... The whole point of it was a grilled cheese. Mm. He wanted to do like a grilled cheese type sandwich. So he whips up this 90-second bread that's done in the microwave that came out and it's sort of soft and eggy still, like the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a lot of ingredients. It was maybe 4 ingredients. But the whole point is you put it in the microwave and it expands a little bit. And then he like showed on his video, he cut it in half. And he's like, you don't have to make 2 of them. You just cut it in half and fill it up and then put it into the air fryer. Put a toothpick in it, which I never even thought about. But put a toothpick in it because that convection air is kicking around so intensely that things would just fly all over the place.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, that's a good hint, because I never heard that from any other person. So we did that. We made the bread, she made the bread, the 90-second bread. And then she made what the hell was it? I think it was like she used English white cheddar cheese. And then, she made her version. This is what she said. She made her version of a Cubano. so it was turkey, ham, cheese, mustard, and a pickle.
Nice.
And she put it in, and like I said, it's sort of out of the microwave. This bread was sort of pillowy almost. And then when she put it into the air fryer, and I think you do like 3 minutes on both sides, that thing came out and it was freaking crispy.
No kidding.
It was really, really interesting, because I tried the bread out of, like, we did a test run of the bread, so I tried a little sample of it once it came out of the microwave, and it was definitely like, okay, I see what they're trying to do, but it was more of like, this sort of tastes like a almost an egg McMuffin type thing. Like where there's an egg inside of like an English muffin. But then you put it into the air fryer. My God, it was crispy. Crispy as all get up. Mm. So she thoroughly enjoyed her venture into the air fryer. And she even said, oh, like I said about the George Foreman grill, the amount of space that you get within the air fryer basket that you get to put, that you get to load up with food that you're going to cook is maybe two portions of food.
Yeah, which is weird because the air fryer is giant.
Yeah, well, that's all fan, obviously.
Yeah. Mm. So I've only used the air fryer twice now. Once I try to make fries, and once I try to make just some chicken breast. The chicken breast is good. I didn't do anything on it, but the fries just weren't crispy enough.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see. But do they call for, like, put oil on it, that type of thing?
No, not what I found.
Oh, that's weird. Because how would it get crispy? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know.
Like one of our recipes for the chicken tenders, they said use like an olive oil or avocado oil spray it and then flip it. And supposedly that would crisp it up. But it was never crispy. So it was nice that bread became real crispy.
Maybe I'll try that next time.
But boy, Brussels sprouts? Ooh, yeah. Dog. Yeah, we tossed them in a little extra virgin olive oil, salt, and balsamic vinegar. And man, did they... Of course, they shrunk up like crazy.
Sure.
But man, did they taste good.
See, I might try that, man, because I do the Brussels sprouts in the oven, but it takes like 45 minutes.
Oh, no. I think it took 11 minutes, I want to say.
That's not bad.
No, it was great.
That's not bad. I might try that. Maybe I'll try it tomorrow.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, the biggest thing was, and I think I even included you in a picture, the biggest thing, because now that I'm doing low-carb lifestyle, when you hit the holidays, the two things that I really, really get cranky that I can't have, it's hard to have stuffing, because stuffing pretty much is bread. Bread's carbs, so you're pretty well screwed there. As well as, like, I don't really miss mashed potatoes and gravy. That's high carbs as well. But I can do without that. Same with pumpkin pie. Like, I miss pumpkin pie. And I think that's my one indulgence of, like, well, if I'm going to spend the carbs, I'd rather like it to be a piece of pumpkin pie.
Right.
That's something else. Well, Julie, the cruise director, found this low-carb, keto-friendly type recipe for stuffing. And, dude, that stuffing was the bomb. It was crazy how she did it in like a, I think it's a 8x11 pan. And it was crispy on top. She used almond flour. So that sort of aped the bread product because it got a little crispy on top. But then it also, she had to cut up like, not mince, but pretty fine cut a lot of celery and onion. And then you use a lot of spices to ape the seasonings for the breading, stuffing, whatever you call it. But it was freaking amazing. Like, the mouthfeel of it was great. The smell of it totally reminded you of, like, stovetop stuffing. And the recipe also said if you like your stuffing to be more like wet dressing, you know, some people prefer it that way. You just add a little bit of chicken stock to it to moisten it up. And I got to say, it was like, it was so good. I even told her, I'm like, I just want you to make this throughout the year as well as why can't we put in green chilies if we want to make it a different style? Why can't we make it more like smoky type feel to it? Like, it doesn't always have to be quote-unquote Thanksgiving flavors.
Right.
But holy cow, it was so good. But it really, in my mouth, I felt like this is like a carb. Like, it just felt like something I should not be eating.
I gotta try delicious. That thing. Yeah, I gotta try that thing. It looked, yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah, shockingly how good that was. I was really floored. So that's what I woke up to. I woke up to smelling like stuffing. Nice. And it was the first time that I was like, oh my God, happy holidays. I was like, what are you cooking down here? And then she made, and we didn't have it Saturday morning. We had it, you know, for dinner. But she did a low-carb chocolate brownie with chopped hazelnuts, chopped roasted hazelnuts in it. Mm. Ooh, man, oh man. That was so good. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. It's one of those lifestyles that's like we gave some to her mom, and her mom was like, no, it was really good. But you can tell her level of sweetness is like, she didn't say this, but it was like, well, if we would have added a bag of Nestle Toll House morsels, then she would have been like, now that's a good brownie.
Right, right.
Because the level of sweetness just isn't there. You're not adding sugar.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if I'll have time to make the stuffing, but I'll definitely do those Brussels sprouts tomorrow. I'm marinating some pork chops right now.
Ooh, dog. What are you marinating? Give me the rest of it.
Oh, I just did some homemade ranch.
Oh, so nice!
So they've been marinating in there since last night, and then tomorrow, like an hour or so before I cook them, I'm gonna do a layer of gochujang on top of it.
Oh,
yeah, and then roast them that way.
But your family doesn't like spice. That's gonna be spicy.
It's not as spicy as you might think.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Cause the ranch just like cakes in there and it seeps all up inside the pork, so it cuts out a lot of the spicy. You still get the kick, but not as bad. It'll be good though. Excuse me. All right, so let me tell you about this bow thingy.
Heck yeah!
My first foray into archery, Nicholas. So I went up to this place, and I told him, I said, look, I don't know, like, how I want to shoot. If I want to do, like, recurve bows or compound bows. I'm leaning towards, like, a more traditional recurve bow. But whatever you guys do, like, I'm cool with that. And the guy was totally cool with it. He's like, well, let's just shoot both of them and see what you like better.
Oh, that's perfect, because that's really what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice.
So I shot both a compound bow and a recurve bow. On the compound, I shot a Matthews Avail, which is cool. I think they had it set to like 40-pound draw. So not like not the lowest, but not like something where I would strain myself. And then on the recurve bow, it was a Bear Grizzly, is what it was called.
Huh.
Both apparently very high quality bows. I have no idea. Anybody that knows anything about bows, you can tell me. But apparently, both very high quality bows. The bear is kind of like a somewhat entry level recurve bow. But it's made for like target shooting. So it'd be like extremely accurate. And so I shot both of them. It was an interesting experience shooting both of the different bows. I definitely know for a fact that I do not want a compound bow. It was easier to shoot. It was easier to aim and hit a target more consistently.
Sure.
But because of that reason, I don't want to do it.
It
felt like the bow was doing more work than I was.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And so, like, when I do stuff, I do stuff because I want to learn how to do it and get experience on it. And it felt like shooting that kind of bow, like, didn't really require me anything. All that required me is to pull the string back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to weld something together. You don't want to press a button and have a machine weld something together.
Exactly. You got
it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but I mean, it was great. It was a good experience either way.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to see, like, wow, this is how people do stuff like this in the Olympics or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the Olympics, they shoot recurves. They don't shoot compounds.
Right, but I mean, after you doing it, it probably makes you realize, my God, they're like you know, they're cross country skiing. Then they line up these shots, and then like, holy Christ!
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
That's cool. That's cool. So, was he pretty knowledgeable? Because I know you wanted, you know, any question answered.
I didn't really have a whole lot of questions, to be honest. Like, okay. I felt like just the act of shooting each kind of bow gave me a good feel for, like, any questions I might have. You know what I mean? Like, once you learn, like, how to properly draw the string and all that, I felt pretty confident in shooting both of them. Like I said, the recurve did feel like it required a little more skill. Cause it felt like I was actually shooting instead of just like chilling behind the bow. You know what I mean?
You like the old thought of shooting a bow and arrow, like you become one with the instrument.
Yeah. And how am I going to become one with it if it does it for me? I don't want that junk.
Right.
But I can totally understand why people choose to go that way. Right. And I'm not saying that like a compound bow requires no skill. That's not true at all. It does require a lot of skill, but it was so much easier to shoot more consistently with the compound than with the old school recurve bow. Sure. So I'm definitely going to go that way. Now, the next time I go, I'm going to talk to the guy a little bit, about like what good options would be. Cause, you know, like for a first bow, I don't want to spend like, you know, $800 on a bow. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'll be okay spending like $200 on a bow. Right. It might not be the best, but like just for practice. Right. And then go from there. But
you don't want to buy a bow, look at that and be like, there's my first appearance of Moon Knight.
Sure. Yes. But I also don't want to buy a bow and then realize like, well, I already mastered this bow in like 3 months. Let me go get something that requires a little more skill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get somewhere in the middle, in between those two things, where like it gives me enough opportunity for growth to learn what it is that I'm doing, but also not be like really like I don't want a beginner's bow. Is basically what I'm saying. You know,
when you put on your wrist guard, was it then that you thought of yourself as Robin Hood
or Hawkeye? Let me tell you.
When you pulled back the string and then you're like, oh, yeah, now I feel like Hawkeye.
Let me tell you. So I, as I've said before, I've been looking at this archery thing for a long time now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, if you go to a store to check out bows, they're all locked, right? So you got to get, like, somebody that works there to unlock it or whatever.
And I'm sure that person at Walmart is not an expert to ask.
Absolutely. I mean, they might have some knowledge, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure if they're in the sporting department, they know at least something. But it's not the same. But I gotta tell you, like, just drawing the string back and then, like, just taking your first shot, you're like, this is fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
You get, like, this weird connection of, like, for one, something that you don't, a skill that you don't normally have to use on a day-to-day basis, right? Like, maybe if I grew up in the mountains or whatever, and if I grew up in a family that hunted or whatever the hell, that'd be a little bit different. But, you know, having grown up in New York City, and just basically being a city boy, even now that I live somewhat in the country, it's a completely different experience. And I could see myself becoming, like, one of those hipsters, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like, you go deer hunting with a rifle? I use my whatever, you know what I mean?
You're becoming very Southern with your fruity pebbled moonshine.
But
I got to say, even getting shot with an arrow before as a child, I still find it damn fascinating when I'm watching people shoot a bow and arrow. Mm. There's a part of me that, and it usually doesn't happen, like when I'm watching a professional like baseball game or basketball game, I ain't one of those people that's like, I'm going to get out on that field. But when I see archery being done, it's like, damn, I want to do that. That looks cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And, and I don't know. I just, you know, like I said, part of the reason I want to do it is kind of this meditative thing. Right. And, and like, I just felt that when I shot that first arrow, man, I was like, ah,
hell yeah.
I need more of this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You ever get, have, How many did you shoot, and did any of them do like a little wiggle up and down, north to south?
So, if it did, I didn't really pay attention because for this first lesson, I was only shooting from maybe like 15 feet away. So I don't think that's maybe far enough to figure that out.
No, I don't think it
would. But I think like once I start doing some practice and I actually go out, if I decide to keep doing this on my own, I'm going to set something up in my backyard.
Nice.
I mean, my backyard is, I want to say like 75 yards across.
Sure. Sounds like you need 6 bales of hay and 1 target, and you're ready to go, buddy.
You got it. You got it.
Yep.
So
That's what we had. That's what we had in the backyard growing up.
Did you? It was awesome. That is awesome.
Well, that's how I got shot with an arrow.
Got it.
My brother was aiming for the bale, shot it off of the seesaw, and it just happened to go through my shorts and into my skin. And I got so freaked out. It wasn't like I was looking down at the thing like, oh my God, look at this. I got so freaked out that I yanked it out, which was probably the stupidest thing to do. But yeah, out of sheer panic, I yanked it out. Mm-hmm. Luckily, no, everything's okay. We're all right.
So I'm going to tell you, I recommend everyone take one lesson. It was cheap. It was like $40 for, nice. For the lesson, for an hour. I probably shot like, I don't know, a couple dozen arrows. I think what I'm going to end up doing is get a membership to this place.
Nice.
So I can just go on my own. And then it's a lot cheaper because I think then it's like $50 a month.
Oh, wow. That is cheaper. Dang. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, will this guy let you shoot as many different varieties of traditional bows? Or is he just like, oh yeah, here, shoot this one. Oh, this one's the best. It feels so good. How much is this? $3,500.
Come on. Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're like the number one Matthews dealer in the Southeast.
Dang.
So the majority of what they sell are Matthews bows.
Of course. And, why not?
You know, Matthews are very high quality. They're also very expensive. And and I don't think they do any recurve bows. I think they only do compound bows.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I think next time he's going to let me shoot one of the new bows and see how I do with it. But it's a little harder. I think the draw weights on those start at like 50 pounds, and go up to like 70 or 80 pounds. I don't even know what you'd take down. That's like elephant shooting. You know what I mean? I don't even know.
Heck yeah.
What the hell you would do with a 70 pound. Yeah, they shoot like 340 frames per second. Like, they are fast.
Sheesh.
They're also like $2,000. He's like, if you want to shoot one next time, you can shoot it. I was like, whatever. All right.
I'm good. Thanks.
But because they are a dealer as well, they let you try whatever you want, you know, because like, obviously they want you to buy a bow. You know?
Of course.
And hopefully a high quality, expensive bow. it was a good experience.
That's great.
I recommend everyone take a lesson just to see.
Did the desire to have a Zen experience, was it that way?
So partially.
Okay.
But I think
I would assume that guy would be talking to you constantly, I would guess.
Yes, he is. It's like constant, do this, you know, lift your elbow up this way, move your arm this way, do this with your forearm, do this with your wrist. But even through that, like
did
when
you let him know that you watch Arrow every week, you're like, I got this guy. I got it.
She'd be like, do you guys shoot, sell trick arrows? Are there any with like grenades on them? Maybe that'd be awesome.
I'd like to fill my quiver with boxing glove arrows, if you don't mind, sir. Thank you.
Do any of these?
I want the one that's bent all the way around facing me that I can shoot, and it will circle around me and kill the person that's sneaking up on me.
I was going to ask for the ones with the spider web in it, you know what I mean? Where you shoot it and it throws the net out. But
gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. So I think because of the amount of meditation that I do, it wasn't quite that. But I think just the fact that, like, you have that couple of seconds where you're lining up your shot and, like, that's all you're thinking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, that focus, I think would really help a lot of people.
Heck yeah.
Even for that, like, short amount of time.
That sounds like a perfect thing to do in your backyard, my friend.
I'm telling you. Woo-wee.
That'd
be fun. Then I'm going to go get these damn coyotes in my backyard.
Hell yeah.
Did
like
I tell
you're
you
Leonardo that? DiCaprio in The Revenant.
That's
Take
right.
Them down.
Take them all down. He got tore up by that bear.
Yeah.
You know how they always tell you to play dead? Did not work for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wasn't that with grizzly or brown bears instead of grizzly bears?
Yeah, it was brown bears.
Yeah. So now, did your shoulders, wrists, was anything sore after shooting, or did you not shoot enough to realize, like, ooh, this is a little bit of a workout?
So a little bit on my elbow. However, I don't think it's necessarily from that. I've had a little bit of a tennis elbow lately.
Mm.
I think I need to adjust my desk. Cause if I'm on my desk like too long, then like my elbow starts hurting.
Wouldn't it be better just to adjust your chair?
You think that's what it is?
Well, why move the desk up and down when you can move a chair up and down?
Well, cause I can just, call corporate and be like, hey, my arm's hurting. I need you to buy me a new desk. You know what I mean?
I get it.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'll try the chair. Maybe it's too low. I wonder if that's it.
Maybe you just don't, you shouldn't be going into work anymore. What the hell? I won't be in today. I have to go see the Joker, and then I have a archery lesson at 1:30. Thank you.
Yeah, I need to go shoot arrows in my backyard for the next 6 hours. I'll catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.
I need to go get six hay bales and put it out.
Nick, I wish.
Oh, I wish it for you.
I wish. I think about this sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, if I didn't have a family, what would I be doing with my life? And I guarantee you, it would not be working 60, 70 hours a week.
Would you be in an RV tooling across America?
I don't know about an RV, but maybe.
But then I'm just thinking for you being off the grid.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, for sure.
Because people can track down hotel information.
Absolutely.
But the RV, they might be able to track you down with gas receipts. But, you know, we always pay cash.
I'll tell you, for sure, I would be in the mountains every weekend doing something.
Okay. You know okay, what I mean? Ted Krasinski. Okay.
I would not be going to soccer games and cheerleading practice and violin recitals and all that stuff.
Those are all important.
They are. Don't get me wrong. And I enjoy them
for all
greatly.
Of your daughter's cohorts that listen to the show. They're all very important. And
I enjoy them greatly. Help. Look, yesterday I went to Zoe's soccer game and sat in the rain for 2 hours.
Okay? Nice.
So
makes a man out of you.
I enjoy it. Oh, it doesn't bother me. I didn't even have an umbrella.
She was out there running around, for God's sakes. You can be out there.
Yeah, she was having a good time.
Heck yeah.
Matter of fact, they ended up calling the game in the second half because the girls in the other team were complaining about being cold and wet.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. but whatever, they're still undefeated. I think what happened was they were sad that they were losing because we scored like 3 goals in the first half. So they were down 3-0 and it was raining.
You think the air came out of their balloon a little?
So there's only one game left. Next Saturday is the last game and they're undefeated still. So
how'd you like to be the other coach walking up to the refs and being like, ah, yeah, my girls are, they're complaining it's cold and they're wet, so can we just call this? Can you talk to the other coach and just ask, can we just call this a draw?
Well, and
it's like, a draw? We're up 3-0. In what universe is this a draw? Okay, we forfeit. Fine.
I even called it because I was on the sidelines with the other parents. And one girl, they kicked the shit out of her. And she limped off the field. And then I saw the coach, like after a couple of minutes, I saw their coach go into our coach and they're talking and the refs called a timeout. So the girls are like all taking a knee and whatever. And I'm like, they're going to call this fucking game because that motherfucking girl just got kicked in the shin. And sure enough, they called the game.
Hey, honey, come on, rub some dirt on it. Get back in there. Hey, loosen up your pigtails. Come on.
I mean, whatever. Right. You know, they're like 8 and 9, so, you know, I guess it's fine.
So you didn't yell out a grow a pair? That was good that you held back. It was good you held back.
I thought about yelling out, let me go grab my participation trophy out of the truck, but I didn't do that. and our coach is funny. He explained it, and you could tell he's like, these fucking kids. Like, they don't want to play in the rain. Oh, man. But it was fun. It was fun. And Zoe's really good. She's been playing goalie, so...
Oh, good.
She enjoys it. Yeah. Which is good. I mean, that's what I played when I played. So I can give her some tips.
Look at that.
You know what I mean?
Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. She's gotten really good. So we'll see. She plays defense sometimes, but she doesn't like that as much.
I can see that. Does she wear the big gloves?
Sometimes. She didn't wear them last game.
Just curious.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah. She's got a whole getup. But she doesn't want to wear long pants or a long shirt. Because I was going to get her like a whole goalie outfit, you know what I mean? But she wants
to... She's like, Dad, I'm not a puss, okay?
Well, no, she wants to wear what everybody else is wearing.
Ah, she doesn't want to stick out as you're like, come on, let's put some color in this. Let them know who exactly is saving this ball from going to the back of the net. Let's go.
Goalie outfits are awesome. They're like neon green and shit. Like, yeah. Hell yeah, give me that.
Definitely. But, it's like being a catcher in baseball.
There you go.
Or a goalie in hockey where they're wearing like kick ass masks.
Where they can't fucking move. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they still have the sweet like skull and crossbones, you know, faceplate on.
That is true.
That's all they care about.
That is very true. Anyways, I'm waiting tonight, Nick. For
Why?
The Bloodshot trailer is dropping tonight.
Oh, when's that? Midnight?
Midnight Pacific.
So you have to wait another hour?
Oh, I'm not going to bed. No, an hour? Midnight Pacific's in like 4 hours, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What are you doing?
No,
come on.
I'll watch it in the morning when I wake up.
Yeah, so go to bed. Get 4 hours of sleep under your belt.
4 hours? That's too much.
Oh, my God. Well, feel free to blow up my phone because it'll be on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, then I will text you incessantly.
Don't do that. Thank you.
Yes, I will. That comes out tonight. I'm excited. They put out a teaser. It looks awesome.
I saw that.
Did you see the teaser? It looks cool.
Yes, it did. Yes, it does.
It looks cool. We'll see.
But not worth staying up 4 hours for.
No, hell no.
No, thank you.
But I'll be up at 6 anyway, so.
Well, you'll be playing Hearthstone, so who cares? You might be up for another 4 hours.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't boycott it.
Well, of course not. It's Hearthstone. Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It's kind of fun. They brought some old cards back for the season till the end of the month.
Nice.
They brought some banned cards back. So that's fun, because those cards are awesome. But aside from that, we'll see. We'll see. I did watch In the Tall Grass.
In the Tall Grass.
Yeah, remember I sent you that trailer?
Oh, yeah! How was that?
So, it was good.
Are there dead people in the tall grass?
I mean, spoilers. Maybe.
Okay. I think we talked about that.
We did talk about it a little bit. So it's based on a Stephen King novella or short story, maybe. Yeah,
man,
short story.
You are such a Stephen King fan. Look at you.
I don't like Stephen King.
I know you don't. I can't believe you watch so much of his shit.
But it was good, especially like because it's a Netflix original. I will recommend it. Had this been something that released in theaters, I would have been disappointed to pay, you know, $1 million to go see it.
True.
But because it's Netflix, it was like, all right, yeah, this was fun. I, of course, never read the story, so I knew nothing about it. And it's an hour and... I mean, it says an hour and 41 minutes, but it's more like an hour and, like, 31 minutes.
Did your wife watch it? Because she's a Stephen King fan.
She has not, because she was watching a documentary on Lacey Peterson.
Ooh.
Because her favorite podcast, that's their next episode. So she watched the documentary to get ready to listen to the episode.
Is that on Netflix?
I believe that was, yes.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that one up. Okay. And
she just finished the last episode, like, pretty much right before we started recording. And she was very upset. Very upset.
That it was like, over?
No, she's like, I don't know if Scott Peterson killed her now. And I was like, oh shit.
Well, have her come to C2E2. She can walk around Scott's old stomping grounds. They're about 25 minutes away from me.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So it was real creepy to hear, like, oh, he was at such and such bar. It's like, yep, I know where that is. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Gacy was from up there, too.
He sure was.
Because I was listening to something tonight, and they were talking about, I think it was, like, his shrink or something when he was in jail.
Okay.
She has his brain in a jar in her basement.
That sounds about right. That's normal.
And some guy that's got like a serial killer museum wanted to buy the brain. Because I guess he's got like some of Gacy's paintings in his museum.
Of course.
Like he bought Manson's ashes or something.
Oh, God.
And he's got them displayed in the museum. The ashes. And I guess like there's like a piece of bone and a tooth that like weren't properly cremated. So he's got them on display.
Are you talking about the next nail biter trade? Who the hell keeps this stuff? Oh, I'm sorry, quote unquote. Oh, it's a museum, wink wink. Oh my God. Ay, ay, ay.
Listen, people have weird interests and that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This morning I woke up and I went to see what new videos I had to watch on the YouTubes. And Vox had a short video about this girl that quit her career as a stockbroker to become a roadkill artist.
Jiminy Christmas.
Right?
Wow, where does that even come from? Wow.
And talking about the experience of like her finding her first raccoon carcass. And then like the time where she dropped off a deer carcass on her dad's lawn for 4 months. And then like never seeing so many maggots in her life. Yeah, it was interesting. Jeez.
Oh my Lord Almighty.
It was interesting.
Well, I just got done with, Friday's episode of 2020, which was the spotlight on, Dorothy Stratton.
Oh,
the Playboy Playmate that, the movie, who was it? Oh, I can't remember who directed that. Darn it. He was famous for like Hollywood musicals. Darn it. I can't remember. Oh, Bob Fosse. Bob Fosse directed Star 80 with Mariel Hemingway and Eric Roberts back in the day. Yeah. So that was, that was just as fascinating as Star 80.
No kidding.
Now that's some scary stuff right there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. You know, it's I've always had this fast. I've been telling my wife since we got married that I want to own a human skull.
Oh my God! Please edit this out of the podcast.
Why?
We just took a turn.
Listen. Welcome to the Nerd Legion podcast, Nick. Where have you been for the past 4 years?
Oh my God.
I don't know. Like, if it's not even legal to buy one, is it? Like, you can't. Can you buy one? I don't think
I would
can.
Hope it isn't legal.
I don't think you can. But yeah, I've been telling you for years, like, I would love to own, like, a human skull. I would want, like, you know, when we still had Solomon, I used to talk about when he died that I would have him cremated and then dispersed in the yard. But I would keep his skull and I would mount the skull. we went to, not today we went to the mall, but I think like 2 weeks ago when we went, they have a place called something mine. It's like one of those gem mining places. But they also have like other stuff, and they have a section of like fossils. So like troglodyte fossils and like whatever. And then they have like little fox skulls and like turtle shells and whatever you can buy. And I was like, that's fucking cool. It's like, if they had a human skull, I would so buy that right now.
You're starting to sound like Orlando Bloom. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, how? What? I don't know anything about this. What?
Because he on one of his film sets, you can look it up. On one of his film sets, he found this dog, I believe it was in Brazil or South America, and he fell in love with the street dog. So this dog went to every set that he was ever on. He just loved this dog, endlessly loved this dog. He felt a spiritual connection to this dog. Well, when the dog passed away, he had all of the bones put back into its frame, like back into, and had the person who was using all the bones and had him put it into a wire frame in a running pose that he always thinks of this dog in. So, but it's all it's the entire skeleton.
There used to be a TV show. God, what was it called?
Hannibal?
No. I think it came on like after that Picker show. Brother. Pretty sure it was on that same channel. Anyways, it was I want to say New Orleans, but I'm sure that's wrong. And it was like a thrift shop, an antique shop, but they only had like weird shit. Right?
Okay.
So like a handbag made out of like human skin or something. And like one of the guys that worked there, he was an artist, and his specialty was doing what you just said, doing like bone wireframes of cats.
Okay.
And like he sold some of those in the store, but that was like his side gig. Apparently, people buy that stuff, man.
Well, you certainly could look up Orlando Bloom dog skeleton, and there's a picture online if you ever wanted to see it.
I'm about to look this up right now.
I believe there is
dog skeleton, and look at that; it was even auto completed for me. Orlando Bloom had his dog skeleton mounted at home.
There you go.
Man, oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. You know, here's the thing, Nick. I think...
Happy Halloween.
I think as a society, we're just so not used to that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I was talking to Zoe, I think, when we were grocery shopping about something about food. And I'm like, yeah, because this is how you get like this. And she's like, eh, like that's how you make that? I'm like, yeah, like it doesn't just fucking grow that way. You know what I mean? Like if it's an animal, well, someone has to kill it and take out the skin and whatever.
Yeah.
And cut out the flesh. Like it doesn't just, you don't get a steak, right? I mean, maybe soon we'll just be all Impossible Burgers. But right now, that's not
like,
how
this
it works.
This isn't Star Trek. And you're just going to a replicator. Was this before or after you told Zoe that you want to be mummified when you pass?
I don't want to be mummified.
And Zoe, I want you to mummify me. Thank you. What?
When I told Zoe I wanted to be cremated and either shot into space or like dispersed my ashes somewhere like a mountain or something, she's like, no, Daddy, you can't do that. And I'm like, why not? She's like, but I want to be able to go to your grave and cry that you're not here anymore. And I'm like, oh, baby, don't think that way.
And then you're like, I'll always be around. Wink, wink. Like, no, I'm really just dead. Yeah, but couldn't you sell that as like, well, no, you sprinkle my ashes by this mountain and you can always go back to this mountain.
Well, there you go.
Who needs a grave?
There you go.
Yeah.
She got so confused today because we were at a red light, and she's like, the light is red, but if it wasn't, it'd be green. And I was like, that's right. She's like, so it could be either red or green at any time. I said, that's right. She's like, but if this is all a dream, how could it be red? And I said, that's right. She's like, I don't understand. And I explained probability to her, and that went down a whole rabbit hole. Reagan's like, I'm putting my headphones on.
But, I have music to listen to.
She was very interested. Reagan hates reading or anything like that. You know what I mean? But Zoe is the complete opposite. So we had a very interesting conversation in the car.
I love it.
All right. I think it's time we wrap up.
Okie doke.
You. Yes, you. You've been listening to the sultry sounds of that mounted skull on my wall. Thank you for listening. There's no skull on my wall, by the way. One day. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. Have a safe and pleasant Halloween-y! Catch you next time.